World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, working right up here to the last minute here, folks. Sorry, rude to not look at the camera when my show comes on. But this is a Flea Flicker Friday. I want this to kind of be kind of lighthearted here today because my wife and I were having a conversation. And said, sometimes after the show, it's so heavy after the show. And I said, well, honey, it's because I'm trying to pull back a veil. I'm trying to help people open their eyes and see and understand what's going on. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about is heavy because it's heavy. It's heavy. Come on. Man, oh, man, we are fighting such delusion. We're just fighting such delusion. So here on Flea Flicker Friday, I want it to be serious, but I like to open up the avenues to anybody here that has something on their heart. I'm going to do a little bit of an opening. If you got a topic that really settles with you, then we can jump in there and run with it. But I have to tell you a couple of things that before we get too deep into it. Number one, most people don't know this. At least I haven't done a good job with it. You know, we still have crews on the ground down in Port Arthur. I don't know how many of you know this. Remember, we told you when we went down to Hurricane, God, I forget his name already, Harvey, that it was going to be a long project, and we're gradually moving down there from what we would call rescue, going in and trying to initially help people get back on their feet, feed them and all that kind of stuff. Now to restoration. And we have a group of guys, we have a group down on the ground last night. In fact, they emailed me this morning, told me they fed 700 in the last two nights down there in Port Arthur. And there are a lot of workers that are down there. And we are also scheduling right now. We've got a group of guys that are going to go in next week. Kentucky Mountain Bible College is sending 20 of their students from Kentucky down there to work all next week. The following week, I'm going to be there. I'm flying in on Monday. I'm going to be there for 4 days on next week. Then the following week, get my days right here. We've got some guys, a group of guys who've been down there, who've been in Rockport, who are going to, we're going to fly them into Port Arthur. And they're going to put together work crews. Big Jim, or Jim Bob, and Big Rich, and Jim Kraft. Boy, Jims are hot there. And Ray's going to be down in there. And we're continually working. But see, we have moved now into what would be called a restoration mode, meaning tearing out drywall, repairing houses, doing the best we can, looking around and trying to figure out which homes were the worst ones, which ones can be fixed up quickly. Let's repair some of these to get some of these people back into their home. So we're still out there. It's kind of going on the back burner now because of Las Vegas and everything that's going on. But we're still actively working down there. And we would love for you to come with us. Now, I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if Big Rich is in here this morning. Not trying to spank him if he isn't. Maybe looking down here. Yeah. Hey, Big Rich, yeah. What day are you guys scheduled to go down there, bud?
we're going to be heading down October 25th through November 1st, so 7 days.
Wow!
Right in the Port Arthur area.
We're going to right into the Port Arthur area, and if you'd like to really, if you're a guy that has some skills, you know, you can use a hammer, and you know about drywall, and you know flooring, you know how to do all that kind of stuff. It's a great opportunity. What I hope happens is Jim, who knows what he's doing, Jim Bob, who knows what he's doing, Dale Socia, who knows what he's doing, Jim Kraft, who knows what he's doing, Ray, know what he's doing. We'll hope maybe put five teams together. Let them be the heads of five different teams down there. So if you're just a volunteer, you say, man, man, I'd like to go, hey, contact us because we'd like to help you with your expenses and get you down there and really, really make a big push to try to make a difference. So that's a week. But if you can't go for a week, if you can only go for 3 or 4 days, that's okay. And it's amazing that Chris Keys and those guys down there are still up and fighting and keeping it going. There's been some issues that we've dealt down with there, but the Lord's good. So jump in. Say, well, how do I find out? Well, just go to CoachDaveLive.com. Just send us an email, coach@CoachDaveLive, and we'll connect you. Love for you to get down there. But understand this, we've moved beyond. We'll do some feeding. We will, but that's not the focus of it anymore. Chris and those guys, as I said, they fed 700 in the last two nights. So the feeding's still going on. They gave away 1,000. Listen to this. You tell me anybody else. Hey, Jeff, tell me anybody else that's doing this, okay? I just got this email this morning. Let me find it. The last two nights. I'm not really sure who it's from. Somebody sent me an email. I'm not sure. It says 700 fed the last two nights. 1,000 gospel tracts distributed, Bibles, sermon booklets, and videos put into people's hands. God be praised. So it's still going on, man. We're doing good gospel work down there. We still have some money left, and we want to put it to good work. So just crack that open. Anybody that's interested in going, try to contact me, and I'll get you contact with either Chad or Sarge down there, and we'll get that thing taken care of. Sarge, Chad, either one of you have anything to add in regards to what's going on down there in Port Arthur?
I got one thing. I said, I just want to make sure that people know that they're coming to join the team. They're coming to join the team. So we already have people that are down there. They already know what they're doing. They're already plugged in. They're already networked. They're running the show. They've been there six weeks, right?
Yeah.
So we just need you to come and just offer your labor. That's what we need. We already have the leadership going in there and everything. You know, we already have everything networked. So if you come
we had an issue this week amongst believers. We're not mad at anybody, anything like that. But a group came in and they kind of had their own plan about that, what they wanted to do. And it's okay. They can have their own plan. But Chris and those guys have been down there for 6 weeks. And they've got a system established. And if you want to come down and work within that system, then we'll plug you in. If you want to bring a group down and you want to do your own thing, I don't mean that to sound bad. You have an idea what you want to do. We'll help plug you into someplace. But the idea is when you come down with us, you're going to do the program that Chris and those guys have laid out because it works. 700 meals last night, scripture's going forth. So we don't want any hard feelings, and we don't want anybody, we don't want anybody to think that we're running a slip. What's that word? A bad operation or anything, because we're not. We're really not. And it's very, very tough when volunteers come in because everybody's got their own idea. First of all, they don't really know what they're coming into. And secondly, everybody has their own idea about what they think needs to be done. But Chris and these guys, they've been on the ground a while. They know what they're doing. Ray, you've been down there. What do you have to say about it, Ray?
Well, exactly. The team's been in place for 6 weeks. They know they have the contacts. They know the needs of all the people. So fresh bodies coming in with ideas, they really aren't plugged in yet. So it's more advantageous to be able to just team up with us and
just bring a hammer and say, here I am, tell me where to hammer. That's all we need you to do. So I got my hamburger flipper here. Where do I flip? That's what we need you to do. Don't try to come in and set up your own plan of what you want to do and how you want to go about it. So God bless people who come in and are energetic and want to do it and want to make a difference. We love you. God bless you. If it doesn't work within the system that we'll put together, we'll plug you in someplace else. That sounds
Dave, one more thing. As you saw in the video, I just want to reiterate that since most people are now are boycotting the NFL, your weekends ought to be free. So just pick one and come on down. Thank you.
That's right, man. We'll put you to good work. I'm going to be down there. As I said, I'm going to go down this week. Rich and those guys are coming back, and everybody's pitching in. And I'm just going to tell you, if you've never done it, it's going to be the most unbelievable experience of your life. We heard yesterday, Dale talked to a guy yesterday who'd come down from, I think, Louisville or someplace up in there. It was just a life-changing experience. He brought his daughter with him, and it was just unbelievable. I'm just telling you, folks, it's unbelievable. So I don't want to get bogged down on that, but I, you know, Sarge, I feel kind of bad because really I haven't really pumped out much information about that the last few days, and maybe people think we're not doing it. We're still down there. We're working hard. We are working hard. So again, I'm going to go down. Jared's going down tomorrow. The guy running the show, Jared's going to go down tomorrow, and he's going to spend some time down there as well. So we may have a little. Hey, Jared, I forgot to tell you this. This is thinking out loud. Joe Silverman and Vince both said maybe they could run the, if you could give them a little coaching, maybe they could run the program. You wouldn't have to take all that stuff with you down there. They think maybe they could, not as well as you do, maybe not as involved as you do, but they can get, they think they can get a Google Hangout up and running for us. So, Jared, we need to maybe connect as best we can afterwards. Anybody else, Flea Flicker Friday, anybody got anything they want to throw out on the table before I throw something out there? Any red meat?
I'm sorry, Dave, sorry, just chat again. I'm sorry. Yep. One more thing. I just wanted to public my event there for the Texas Regional. We're having our monthly get-together the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 7 p.m. at on the 20th. 7 p.m. we'll have a cookout and all that kind of stuff. And
that's the Texas Brigade. That's people down near Texas that can get to it. And we can't forget, God bless Rob Pugh and his crew up there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We're going to be up there Thursday. I don't know. I always get this screwed up. I think it's the 26th. Thursday the 26th. Friday the 27th, we're going to be in Milwaukee, 27th and 28th. 29th, at Pastor Terry Fisher's church. So those of you up in that area, or those of you who are within 6 or 7 hours that can get up there, we'd sure love to have you join us. And stuff, that information is all on our website. We got bogged down a little bit here at Pass the Salt Ministries because, can I be honest with you? We bit off more than we could chew down in Texas. We really did. And I made a bad call. Coaches do that sometimes. I divided our team only because, see, our original plan, give me 2 minutes, I'm going to be done with this. Our original plan was to raise $20,000. I thought if we could raise $20,000, that'd be unbelievable. But we raised maybe 6 times, maybe 120, maybe even a little bit more than that, $120,000. So Chad said, let's go to Rockport. It was terribly hit, and it was. And we had Dale Socia and Chris Keys over in Port Arthur and Beaumont, and they set up their operation over there. So we had our team that was divided. And then we said, well, we got 40 people that are coming down, but a lot of people didn't come. They didn't come down. And so we ended up going to Rockport with a skeleton crew. We had a skeleton crew in both places. And so I felt bad because I felt that as, you know, the coach called the wrong play. We should have all gone to Port Arthur. That's where we all should have gone. Instead, we divided our team and, you know, we were shorthanded and just it wasn't. But boy, we learned from it. OK, we bit off more than we can chew. God bless our efforts above and beyond what we thought he could do. He gave us all kinds of money. We still have money now to buy drywall and nails and patching and flooring. We still got money to do all that kind of stuff. And even though we can't rebuild every house down there, we're going to make a difference in the lives. So I just wanted to let everybody understand that sometimes, let's have to say your eyes are bigger than your stomach. We bit off a real big hamburger. Think about the largest. See, there wasn't anybody even close down there. The closest guy was Chad, and he was 5.5 hours away from Rockport. So we tried to put an operation with no anchor in the ground down there. The anchor we thought we had let loose on some sinking sand, if you know what I'm talking about. So it's all been good. We've learned from it, and we're better organized, and we're going to get better. And now that we know that we can do bigger things as a result of it. Okay, Sarge, anybody want to jump in or anything I've forgotten about that? So, Matt, yeah, Ray.
Real quick, also like to mention those that are in the area of Indianapolis with OSA on November 1st, 4th, back to the abortion issue, which is a high priority on all our hearts and lists, that they should attend that if they can make it.
Yeah, if you can't, you can't do everything, but there's a big event going on in Indianapolis on, I can't even hardly say it, November 1st. How can that be coming up? So, man, you see what our life becomes like, right? I'm going to go to Port Arthur, then I have to go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not across the street. I get home, then I go to Indianapolis, And so that's you understand sometimes why I'm a little bit hairy. That's why. That's why I appreciate Sarge and Chad and Gary Pierce and Rich and all those guys who are helping holding up my arms, because I'm trying to say, here's what we got to go do. Let's get it done. And sometimes I'm not the, I see where we're going to go, and I jump around and not real organized and all that. So I appreciate all those guys. And if it's screwed up, it's my fault. It's not theirs. So Dale Socia has picked up our hands, done a lot of great things with it. So, okay. So I want to move on. A lot I want to talk about, but it's Flea Flicker Friday. So throw it out on the table there if you want, got something you want to chew on. Okay, well, here I come. Two things hit me this morning. Two things. And I think we've talked about both of these before, but I got to get these off my chest, and then you do, you know, we'll go from there. Jared, bring up for me, if you will, 2 Thessalonians. Fellas, I got to tell you something. We are fighting the greatest delusion in the history of the world. Delusion. Delusion. Strong delusion. Now, the reason there's such strong delusion is a couple different reasons, and it's all, in my opinion, it's all tied together. Knowledge has increased. The scriptures tell us that knowledge will increase. We have the internet. We have, we can do a Google Hangout like we're doing right now. We can have 20 people. Is that what I got in here? 20. I'd like to see 30. I'd like to have a full house. We can get 20 people in here at one time. Can you imagine if Jesus could have foreseen that? Maybe he did, but can you imagine? Can you even imagine 100 years ago, 1917, that we would be talking about being able to do this? And so because of that, there's a great, there's so much information out there, so much knowledge out there, that it's easy for us to find ourselves in a fog and get confused. And I would say that as the point that I've tried to make many times on our show, is part of the issue that we're dealing with in the church in particular, because I look at the church world and I look at the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be impacting the world. And the reason the world is in a mess is because the church is in a mess. And the reason the church is in a mess is because we just believe in a lot of stuff that probably isn't true or has a little bit of truth to it, but not all the truth. And again, as in fairness to me, I'm not a theologian. I'm not. Never claimed to be. But I can read and I can think. And I just open up the Bible and I read this, and here's what it says. And call me a literalist, call me a realist, call me whatever you want to. How else can you read the Bible and not, if you're not a literalist, why you even read the thing? It's not a suggestion book. God didn't set this thing up to be confusing. He didn't do that. Come on, dudes. These guys have been reading this thing for 2,000 years. They've been reading the Old Testament for even longer than that. He didn't make this complicated. Why is it all of a sudden we hit 2017 and all of a sudden we think we have to be smarter than everybody and see something in the scripture that wasn't, oh, here's what that means. Well, I wrote yesterday on This Is That, that there's signposts, and yeah, maybe we are heading towards the end. I don't know if we're heading towards the end. Those people, 59 people, they hit their end in Las Vegas the other night, didn't they? We don't know when it is. So a couple things that just really, really, I think it's important for us to see. And that, what did I say, Jared? Thessalonians, because I got 3 different places I want to go here today. And I want to point out some things that I think that are important. Hey, I don't care what your pastor says. He might be wrong. When your pastor says, if you take him, I know this has happened, I get the email. They take some of this stuff to their pastor, and the pastor immediately poo-hoos it. Oh, bleh. Who are you hearing that from? Coach, oh, you're hearing that from that football coach. Oh, you better stay getting the Bible. You better stay close to that and not get out there on that edge, out there where that guy is. Yeah? Right? Yeah? No, I'm not trying to shake anybody's faith. But have you asked a pastor, hey, pastor, where did you learn this? Where did you learn what you're teaching? I promise you, he learned it from somebody else. He learned it from somebody else who passed it down to him. And now he's standing in the pulpit telling you it's the truth, because why? Well, that's what his mentor told him. Are you with me, guys? So I'm not trying to undo anything. I'm just trying to read the scripture literally and see what it says and just not make a word say what it doesn't say. Okay. So we're in 2 Thessalonians, and I just want to show you, we have said this over and over and over. I'm sorry, Jared, I got to find where I am back. Because I'm in the part of my Bible where the page is torn, and I don't want to do it. I'm in 2 Thessalonians, Jared, and I'm in chapter 2. I'm sorry, did I say that? Chapter 2. Yeah, I did. Okay. And let's just start the chapter. Are you there, Joe? I'm going to have to give Joe a salary. He keeps reading to us. He told me he'd be close and ready to go.
He's not there yet.
Joe Silver. You got to be ready in season and out of season. He's not there. Okay, well, I'll do it. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. At hand means imminent, meaning when something is at hand, it means it could happen at any time. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily standing right at the door. That's imminent. Everything that's happened, everything that needs to happen. See, if I go over there, I'm here in my studio, I'm looking across the room, and the studio is dark. The lights are imminent. They're imminent. Everything is in place for those lights to work. All I have to do is hit the switch, okay? Imminent. Do not be so shaken as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. I guess men can deceive you. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a great falling away first. That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. See, we like to talk about the son of perdition, but we don't like to talk about the great falling away. The great falling away has to come before the son of man of perdition. So what's he do, this man, son of perdition? He opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember, you not, that when I was with you, I told you about this voice. Remember, don't you? Hey, did you remember that? Cecil, remember me telling you that over there? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work, boys. This is 2,000 years ago. It's already at work. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I assume that means the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, I believe there is a literal Antichrist, but I also believe there's a spirit of Antichrist. There is a seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There is an attack constantly against Christ. That would be the Antichrist, the anti-truth. I'm not a theologian, but this is what words mean to me when I read them. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Hey, guys, you walk around America today, I'm going to tell you something. They don't want the truth. People don't want the truth. They want to be told lies. They want to be told that everything's okay, that the government's got all under control, that FEMA's going to be here. Now, they love lies, okay? They believe a lie. 12, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we're 13, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit, believe the truth, whereunto you were called by the gospel of the kingdom of glory of our Lord. I ended up in the wrong spot. Did I get right through it? No, I did it. I'm okay. Verse 11, Jared. There's where I want to be. And for this cause, what cause? They love not the truth. They believed a lie. And because they didn't love the truth, and because they believed a lie, the Lord God himself shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. I can't believe that the people that I come in contact with, I'm just going to throw some things out there with you. We can toss it around a little bit. I can't believe I come in contact with people and the skies are full of chemtrails. And I look up and say, yeah, look at that. And they don't even see it. Like, I just, I can't even believe it. I can't believe that people can look at the towers falling on 911 and think that what they told us, that's the truth. I can't believe that they don't even have the ability to look at that and say, you know, something doesn't work here. They're believing a lie. I can't believe that people think John F. Kennedy was killed by Lee Oswald alone, still. Because people love a lie. Are you guys with me? They love a lie. And so the enemy has understood that. And now with all the technology, see, we have a leg up that we never had before. And I said that yesterday, it's a cell phone. All the cell phone videos coming out of Las Vegas, they can't push that lie. I would say right now, they're trying the best they can to figure out how they can make this thing, how they can appear to make their story stick. Because there's just too many other things. And is this not part of their scheme to keep us confused and not keeping our eye on the ball? Is it part of their plan? Because the FBI could have right now stood up and told us, it's been how many days has it been? Not one press conference from the FBI telling us what they knew and what they didn't know. And could it be possible that in Las Vegas right now, the sheriff's department wants to do something and the feds want to do something else? Is that possible? And is it possible that maybe some of the stuff they're keeping close to their vest because there's an ongoing investigation? But like I said, when I was in the dentist's office and those ladies had their hand in my mouth, I said, you don't believe that, do you? They did. So I want to encourage you out there, listen, in your attempt to build your downline, most people aren't going to get it. There's strong delusion. Like a fog that's hanging over the church, is strong delusion. I got a phone call yesterday from a friend I've known quite a while, and she listened to the show, and she called, and she says, oh my goodness, Coach, that SRA, that happened to me, and I can't get anybody to believe me. So that's what we're dealing with, okay? It's this delusion, this strong delusion that is over the eyes. Hear me. Of God's people. This idea that we're going to be sucked out of here, raptured out of here. Americans, right? God's not appointed us under wrath. They're chopping off heads. They're killing people all across the globe, but not here in America. We'll get out of here before it hits. Folks, I believe that's a delusion. Okay, I'm going to pause there. Let somebody comment on that.
Yeah, hey, so
special death for America coming in. I don't know how, but it's always going to be wide and varied as this country is. But and just so you know, Coach, I'm back. I can read yeah. Now.
Oh, okay, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, you know, verse 11 there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God shall send them strong delusion. If you
it's
go back
God.
To Romans chapter 1, we find out something about the character of God that is not played out in most churches. And we read from chapter 1 of Romans, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections.
God's doing it, Hillary.
Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, you know, God does all kinds of stuff with people's minds and delusions and everything else. See, it's all part of His will. His
Amen.
Will.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That's what is necessary for him to get his will accomplished. And we all sit around and think about it and we plan and we say, okay, this is the best thing for this situation. So most of us sit around, spend most of our prayer life trying to tell God a better way than his will.
Right.
In that chapter one is because why? Is because they did not acknowledge God, nor did they glorify him. And the same thing, what we're seeing here, that guy was up on the wall and he was preaching to those people and they were mocking God. They were mocking the word that was being preached. Now here's Coach going back. Of course. Yeah. I look at the 9/11 thing and I look at, okay, so what hit tower? What was it? Tower 7 that came down and there was nothing around it, but that came down, but down to the shooter down in Las Vegas. I talked with some guys on the force, and they said when they sent that picture out with his dead body in that room, they said, where were all the spent casings? Thousands of rounds fired, and there was only a handful of casings in that room. Where were all the spent shell casings?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the other things, Dale, I don't know if you guys know this or not. He has a tattoo. He has a little tattoo on his throat. Most of you don't know this. Little tattoo on his throat. There's no tattoo on this guy laying in that room. There's no tattoo on the throat. And again, part of the delusion, let's say everything you're telling us is true, that he's in the room, he killed himself, what, all that stuff. That's part of the delusion. Part of the confusion I believe they're doing to us on purpose. The fact he's in the room and he shot himself in the mouth doesn't mean he pulled a trigger and did anything. Otherwise, we don't have any evidence of any of that. And then a good question would be, I don't want to get bogged down on this. He had 27 guns in there. Why did he only shoot for 10 minutes? He had 25 more guns he could have used. He had all the ammunition. Why did he only shoot for 10 minutes? I mean, it's just a lot. And I believe that they are purposefully allowing this delusion to be out there. There may be a very true, short story, reason why, but they're not telling us. Now, why?
Dave.
Yeah.
Coach.
Go ahead, George.
Well, okay. Hey, Coach, just a quick thought. I think that street preacher that was up in the well warning, I think that was a really great, I'm going to call it a thermometer of where we are spiritually in our country, because I sent that video out to probably 10 people, and it was pretty amazing. I got a couple people that thumbs up and right on, but it was pretty amazing the people that they didn't focus at all on the fact this guy had warned people. They focused and said, oh, street preachers are weird, the harsh, blah, blah, blah. But I thought the bottom line to me is it was a great pulse or thermometer, if you will, of where we are spiritually as a nation.
Amen, buddy.
Right on, George.
It is. It's where we are. Now, see, guys are street preaching like this all the time, all around America. And people don't die the next day, right? That doesn't always happen. But boy, it sure looks like it happened here. Matt, you were trying to jump in.
Well, I think that your point about the delusion and that, I think, is absolutely excellent. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is go back really to Exodus and consider what God did to harden the heart of Pharaoh and how Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Right. We have a situation in this country right now, and I think, you know, when you look at, you know, God was going to get the Israelites out of Egypt his way. And when you look at it, you look at this sometimes and you read this and you say, well, why in the world did God do it this way or that way? That doesn't make any sense to us. And it doesn't make any sense to us, the things that are going on today. But if we look at the hardening of our hearts, you look at Peter in denying Jesus three times. Now, Jesus told Peter before that was going to happen. So did Peter just listen to it? No. I believe that God hardened Peter's heart to where he would do exactly what God said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And we do what God says we're going to do. And, you know, when you're talking to people, Dave, and it seems like they don't get it, the church don't get it, it's because God has hardened the hearts of those people in the church.
Amen.
They're not going to get what the hell Dave says, regardless what happens. They're not going to get it because God has said, you're not going to get it yet. It's not time. And Larry's absolutely right in what he said. You know, it's God's plan. And we think we're going to alter God's plan. We're out of our ever-loving minds.
We are out of our ever-loving minds. Ever-loving. So I'm
and
so,
coach it.
Yep,
Coach, as an encouragement to you, understand this, because I preached both of those scriptures many a times, is the fact if God is turning them over to a delusional mind, don't be frustrated when you can't change it.
Amen, baby. Recognize what's going on. Recognize it. Don't get frustrated about it. Guys, I tell you, in my life, I bring the conversation up, and I know within 30 seconds if they're open to it. You just got to watch their eyes. You know whether they're open to it or not. And if they're not open to it, I quit throwing my pearl before swine, right, Larry? I quit doing it. Say, okay, I just shut it off and move on. Hey, you ever Google me? Have you ever Googled me on the internet and see what people are saying about me? Well,
Dave, the next time
that matters, right? They can't get it. They're deluded. They're delusional. They think I'm delusional. See? Go ahead, Matt.
Well, the next time you're talking to somebody, and this is what I'm going to, I've had some good conversations with the Lord just in the last couple of days about this very topic of heart, is what I'm going to do, and I feel as though God's telling me to do it. When you're talking to people, and I've wondered about this, you know, they get that glassy-eyed stare in their eyes, and like they don't, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, God is hardening your heart. So you're not going to get this. So I'm just going to move on. I'm going to actually say that to them. God is hardening your heart. So, and when I turn around, walk away, they're probably going to say, hear and understand what God is doing to them, because they're not ready yet to accept what anybody like yourself or any preacher, Dale, or anybody else, or Larry, is trying to tell them. They're not ready yet. And God's not going to let them hear it and understand it until it's part of his plan that they do it.
Matt, we have people who actually think the government is going to do good to them. But we actually have people that do that. We have that. I mean, it is unbelievable. And that we can't even understand that everything our government does that they say is good requires stealing from somebody to do it. Everything they do requires stealing from somebody to get it done or lying to somebody. There's nothing good about the American government, folks. There's nothing good. I love my country. What's that saying? I love my country. It's the government I don't like. And we have people that we have a school levy up. Can you believe that? They want more money for the schools, and it will pass. Well, it may not pass. If it doesn't, they'll run it again in 2 months. And if it doesn't work, then they'll run it in 2 months, and then they'll do it again in 2 months, and then they'll take the busing away, and then they'll pass it. And we think, Christians now, that those schools are doing something good. Now, you tell me that's not delusional. You tell me that's not delusional. That people going to church thinking the government training your children is a good thing. It's a part of the delusion thing. And so what we have to do, we have to be in a sifting process. We have to find out who's with us and who's not with us. Because I was the girl that called me last night, I was shocked. Thank God she gets it. But she can't find anybody else that gets it. You with me? Remember, keep in mind, listen, broad, narrow, many, few. Why are we so upset they don't get it? He tells us they're not going to get it. He is going to send a strong delusion. He is going to give them over to a reprobate mind. He's doing it. Oh, man, you guys got such wisdom. Can I kick another dog? You guys mind if I kick another dog? Good. And we'll kick one. I got a lot of stuff over here. Lord, do I want to kick that dog right now? I don't mean do I want to kick you. I mean, I got so many dogs to kick. Lord, which dog do you want me to kick? Let me check my notes here to make sure I'm not going to kick that dog. I want to. Hey,
sacred cows make great steaks.
Okay, let's have a steak here then, okay? Let's have a steak. I came down here today, and I don't know how. My Bible here on my desk was open to Colossians. Now, I don't have any idea why. I don't remember having read Colossians at all in the last month. I came down here, and my Bible is open to Colossians. So, Jared, I always take that as a sign. Lord, why would that be there? Hey, Jared. Go to Colossians 1. Hey, Silverman, are you ready to go, brother?
Absolutely.
All right, brother. Let's see where I'm going to start you. Hey, Silverman, let's go to Colossians 1. Let's just begin with 9, and I'm going to try to behave and sit here because I'm heading to a spot, okay? Hey, we're talking about delusion. We're talking about being taught things that just totally are not maybe true. We're talking about, Jesus said, you teach his doctrines, the commandments of men, making the word of God of no effect. So if your pastor is telling you something, it would be a good idea if you found out from him where he heard that, where he learned that. Huh? Make a big difference. Big difference. Go ahead, Joe. 9. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jared, scroll up a little bit. There we go. Okay. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Wow. If you don't just bust this, don't pass over that. Spiritual understanding. All wisdom. See, there's wisdom, then there's spiritual understanding. You see this, guys? You see this? There's wisdom, and then there's spiritual understanding. Okay? I believe we're dealing with spiritual understanding. Keep going, Joe.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to meet, or made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Wait, why would he put that word in there? In light. We made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Light represents truth, right? Light repels darkness. The battle's over truth, fellas. Over truth. Keep going.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Wow.
Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
That happened to me. I want to testify that happened to me. I got translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, into the light. My goodness, and I ain't going back. Keep going, Joe.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Buckle up, folks. Here it comes. Buckle up. Keep going, Joe.
Of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible.
Wow, there are invisible
things.
Whether
they be thrones.
There's invisible things. There are thrones. Keep going, Joe.
Or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Uh-oh, I won't preach there, but that would preach. Go ahead.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Hang on, Joe. Tighten your belt, boys. Tighten your belt. Pull it tight. Hold on to the edge of your chair. Go ahead, Joe.
And he is the head of the body, the church.
Stop. What? I thought the church was the bride. Keep going, Joe.
Who is the beginning? Firstborn from the dead, they might have the preeminence.
For read that again, Joe. Father, Joe. Hey, Joe. Okay. Let's read that one again.
Okay.
Let's read that verse. Let's read that verse 16. Is it 18? 16, 18? Yeah.
And he is the head of the body, the church.
Stop. He is the head of the body. What's the body? The church. Is that what you've been taught? Hello? Have you been taught it's the body of Christ or the bride of Christ? What have you been taught? So I thought. And you ask your pastor, where does he come up with it? Well, he read it from somebody's commentary. Who read somebody else's commentary. Who wrote about it. And you sit down with them and say, just this one thing here. How can the church be the body and the bride? How can it be? I said, Lord, help me out here. Please, Lord, I just want to believe the truth. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, well, coach, go ahead and turn if you can. Flip over into your book. Open that thing up to Revelation, a book of Revelation, coach. That'd be a good place for you to go. So I opened it up, and I went to Revelation. Oh, Lord, don't do this to me. I just had it. Twenty-one, Jared. Guys, I'm just asking the question, okay? I'm just asking the question. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know. Something won't let me go. I'm in chapter 21. I'm going to trust my silver-throated brother there to to read Revelation 21 for us there. Can you do that, Joe? Still with me, Joe?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read that for me if you would, bud.
And we'll start at verse 1, chapter 21 of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was... And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Just, can you stop there a second? Joe, can you see? Can you read that again?
And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, God out of heaven, prepared, adorned for her husband.
Okay, well, doggone. Okay, well, that's just one verse, Coach. That's just one verse. Okay, well, let's go to 21:9. Can you scroll on down there, Joe? Can you clear your throat? Okay, and try to read this one for me, too.
Yep.
There you go. Start 21:9. Hey, Joe, let's start at 21:8. Because I like reading this one because it always makes me feel good. Go ahead and read that one.
Okay, Jared, scroll up.
21:8.
Fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The second. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven and me coming, saying, come hither, and I will show ye the bride.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Can somebody help me here? Could those five words be any more specific? I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride, the Lamb's wife. We'll say it one more time. We'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I thought the church is the bride. No, Colossians just told us it's the body. Keep going, Joe. Verse 10.
And the angel said,
sure, come on, I'll show you. You want to see the bride? Come on. Go ahead.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God.
You can stop there. You can stop there. Twice. To show me, come here, I'll show you the bride. Come here, I'll show you. What's he show? The new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. He says again, hey, show me the bride. Sure, come on over here. It is the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. We're reading Colossians that Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. What am I missing? I'm just a...
Can I give you a little theological insight to that, Coach?
Sure.
As a pastor and, you know, did several years of Bible college. Of course, I never finished any of them because they always tried to block you into their theological dogmas, even though I was a 4.0. Okay. Remember, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. We are the body of Christ. We are. And we are here to possess the land, to take it by force, to possess and occupy. I believe my interpretation is when you read in Revelations, I'll show you the bride. I believe that when we pass from this life into the well done, my good and faithful servant, we have been now washed. We're without wrinkle and without spot. Then you can become the bride of Christ in heaven. But here on earth, we're not the bride. We're the body of Christ. That's just my take on
that. Okay, I can live with that, Bill. I can live with that. But for us to continue to teach people that this church that we see here on heaven is the bride of Christ. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Anybody else? Awfully quiet. Am I still on the air here?
Well, this all simply falls back to what you want to cling to. If you want to cling to your Sunday school teacher's lesson from as a six-year-old or eight-year-old, you want to cling to what you heard from behind the pulpit from a six-foot popsicle. If you want to cling to that which makes you comfortable, then believe what you want to believe. But if you want to believe the truth, read the word for what it says. It says the bride of Christ is the city, the New Jerusalem. The whole description of the New Jerusalem never mentions a single person in it. It is a city.
So it says, Larry. Now, I'm not going to go to war over it, okay? You go to Revelation 19:7. Go to 19:7. I don't know how I got on
when
this.
When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, is that in the New Jerusalem?
Well, Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And somebody help me. Aren't we invited to the wedding feast? Aren't we invited? You have to invite the bride? Bride has to be invited to her own wedding feast?
Hey, Coach.
I just want to know the truth. Yeah, George.
But by the way, almost all of our forefathers before 1830, the church fathers, believed like what you and Dale and Larry are saying, that New Jerusalem is a city. And you know what? And when people really study history, and the early church fathers, they'll realize it was polar opposite from what John Darby and some of these characters taught. And when you understand that, you won't get fooled anymore. A preacher could say anything, and you won't fall prey to it when you're watching late night Christian television.
That's why I have a hard time going to church sometimes. Not with Pastor Bill, because Pastor Bill brings the word good. Sometimes I want to stand up and say, time out, man. Where are you getting that? What are you doing? Anybody ever do that besides me?
Yeah, look at the church right now, brother. Looking at how the take on. Remember, if we're the body of Christ, then we're of that male figure, which is the one that actually goes to battle. Yeah. If we say we're the bride of Christ, women don't go and fight. Women stay home.
The whole thing, the church has been feminized. See? We think we're of his body. Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, his body. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. God's body is supposed to be ruling and reigning right now, I think. Instead, we're waiting for the marriage supper. We want to go become his wife. I'm not being blasphemous. Okay, enough of that. Delusions, we're talking about delusions today, okay? Stop this. I don't know why that. Stop that. Stop that. I didn't turn you on. Jared, a couple good things I want to show. Kind of see, I told you so. There it is. Just to wind down here, we got 7 minutes left. Jared, pull up there. Weinstein, pull that up. You guys see this? You talk about poetic justice. Harvey Weinstein, he's the Clinton's best big buddy, you know? Yeah. Harvey Weinstein is being charged with sexual harassment. Not only is he being charged with sexual harassment, he's admitted to it now. The New York Times is after it. Now, guys, I want to ask you. Evidently, Clinton's big buddy. This is Clinton's big, big buddy, man. And you know what Harvey Weinstein's been doing? He's been using his influence. See that pretty girl standing beside him on the screen? Do you think she would give two hoots about Harvey Weinstein if he didn't have a whole bunch of money? Look at that. Are you kidding me? He's uglier and shorter and fatter than me. And he's got some broad like that, huh? And now he says, oh, yeah, I haven't been a very good person in the past. See, understand this. The left, the God haters, they want a set of rules that you one of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is make people live up to their own standards. The left has no standards, so they don't have to live up to them. But we have standards, and so they constantly want us to live up to our standards. So here's Harvey Weinstein now all of a sudden saying, well, maybe I haven't been a very good person in the past. And did you see who his lawyer is? His lawyer is that Bloom. What's her name? Lisa Bloom. The one who always comes out and defends all these women who've been sexually harassed on the job. Lisa Bloom. She's always out there with all of them. And now she's Harvey Weinstein's lawyer saying, oh, he didn't really do it. He didn't mean to do it. Oh, you just got to chuckle. You just got to chuckle what's going on. What's going on the other side and what we let them get away with. And then I got to get to this. And before we run out of time, geez, Jared, go to the very first one, abortion ban. This is a good one to end the weekend on. This is us. This is good old U.S. of A. The House passed a 20-week abortion ban. 20 weeks. The House said no more killing babies after they're 6 months old. That's what the House said, right? But you can kill babies up to them. And why can you kill babies? Why? They feel pain. So it's okay to kill somebody if they don't feel pain. So if I'm laying in my bed tonight, sound asleep, and my wife comes and puts a bullet in my head, it's okay because I didn't feel it. And see, we lose. We think this is a victory. We, dumb us, we think this is a victory. 20-week abortion ban. But wait a minute. They're not sure they can get this through the Senate. Oh, no, not sure they can get it through. See, these are the crumbs they continue to throw at us. It's either a baby or it's not a baby. It's either a life or it's not a life. And as we saw in the research that we did yesterday, one-third of Americans say, yeah, it's murder, but it should be okay. This is where we are. And so the Republican Party is falling right down. They passed a 20-week. Guys, that's 5 months. The five-month-old baby. It's amazing. By the way, 97% of the abortions are before 20 weeks. They ain't going to do anything.
Don't forget that House Republican from Pennsylvania who signed on it urged his mistress to have an abortion earlier this year.
That's right. He went out and fooled around on his wife and did stop abortion now. Look at those signs. Stop abortion now. They're not stopping abortion. Who are they kidding? We are so powerless. Church is so powerless. Oh, God, we're so powerless. One more. Let me throw it up there. Jared, go down to the very right under Weinstein, it says, it's two things. I got 3 minutes. Let's get them both in. Jared, let's go to, it says babies. It says babies. Gloria Steinem, look at this. Gloria Steinem says gender was invented in order to control the population. All those who hate me love death. See, the whole gender war, the whole gender identification was a ruse of the God haters to control reproduction. She admits it. One more, I got to get up there just because I'll forget it on Monday. Let's go down to where it says NFL elites. Just some good little things thrown out at the table to you today so you can take it with you wherever you go this weekend. An NFL veteran, Burgess Owens, said that NFL veteran says the NFL is now run by liberal socialist elites. They are. And we wonder why they want, see, you wonder why the football players are taking a knee. Their bosses want them to. Oh, my Lord. It's everywhere. It's everywhere, is it not? All right, bring it home here, boys. We got a couple minutes. Come on, anybody, I forget anything? Anybody got something to, anything lay on the table?
Coach, who's that governor in Oklahoma? Did you see you? I think you posted that video.
Yeah,
he's running, yeah. And he's got it down packed as far as
he's calling abortion murder. He is now. Are the Republican Party going to get behind him? No. Oh, by the way, oh, daggone, Judge Roy Moore is causing all kinds of fear because he went to Washington D.C. and he didn't meet with Mitch McConnell. He didn't meet with Paul Ryan. He met with Jim Joy. He met with some of the real conservatives, and they're all mad. How come he wouldn't come? Why didn't he call me? The judge is, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. You got to pray for his safety. That'd be for sure. And then one more good news before we sign off here. Cliff Bennett's wife, Faye, had a miraculous recovery yesterday. And we just continue to pray that God's going to do a miracle and going to restore her and put her back on her feet. She's in intensive care. She was out of the bed yesterday, holding her grandkids on her lap, smiling. Let's just pray God's going to do something great. How about a little bit more confidence, folks, in the God that we claim to serve, huh? God bless y'all, man. Have a great weekend. We'll see you. JR's show tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We'll see y'all on Monday.